This is November the 11th, 1997, and I'm interviewing Mrs. Mary Virginia Jones. And do you consent to do this interview?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and we'll get started. And when and where were you born?
I was born right here in Greenville, North Carolina. Just outside the city limits.
Oh, okay.
That's right here, so I've been here all my life.
And when were you born? Do you mind giving a birthday?
No, I don't mind. Good to be alive. I was born November 4th. I just had a birthday.
Oh, happy
just
birthday.
Just a welcome. Thank you. November 4th, 1931.
Okay. And how many people were in your family?
Okay. My mother and father, we were fortunate to have, you know, two parents.
Mm-hmm.
And there were five of us. In other words, I have two brothers and two sisters.
That's a big family.
Yeah.
What did your parents do for a living?
Okay, my dad was a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was a housewife. She also was a practical nurse.
Oh, okay.
And a businesswoman, because in her later years, she opened up the first rest home.
Mm-hmm.
Not a nursing home, but a mm-hmm. rest home in Pitt County, which is located in Winterville.
Oh, that's
she
interesting.
She operated that for several years, and she finally just, you know, sold it.
Oh, that's really interesting. What was it like? What was your family life like?
Okay, our family was very, very close-knit.
That's good.
Education was very important. Mm-hmm. Church was very important. After we never missed any days out of school unless we were really sick.
Mm-hmm.
And if you knew better than to say, Mom, I'm sick. You know, of course, you wanted mm-hmm. to stay home because you didn't want to take a test or something, because she was going to take you to the doctor. And that doctor had said, no, I don't find anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, she made sure that we studied. We had very good study habits.
Mm-hmm.
We came home directly after school. We had a little social life, but not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
On the weekends, say from Friday or Saturday, we would get a chance to go to the neighborhood movie, which was located on Albemarle Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
That movie is no longer there. I mean, that building is no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
But little things like that, and mm-hmm. in the summer, when we got old enough, we worked. We worked in green tobacco.
Oh, okay.
That was the way we earned our little money, so that that would help our parents to buy some clothes, because
mm-hmm.
my mother was a great seamstress,
mm-hmm.
so she made most of our clothes. And they knew how to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they did.
How to make ends meet. And of course, my mother would, during the summer, you know, would preserve and can fruit and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some things to kind of help us over in the winter months.
Wow, sounds like you're busy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a lot of activities in your church?
As we were growing up, we attended Sunday school
mm-hmm.
regularly. My two sisters, of course, sang in the choir. I never sang in the choir. I don't know why I didn't get in the choir. But that was most of what we did in the church. Of course, as I've gotten older, of course, I married a minister, so
mm-hmm.
I've been really, really active in the church,
yeah.
you know, helping with fundraisers and working with the youth. I've always mm-hmm. enjoyed you. I don't have any children, but I've always enjoyed you.
Oh, I did not realize you did.
No, in fact,
have
I was
children.
Sitting down last night saying, how many students or children have I touched? And I figured it was somewhere between 5,600 and 6,000.
Wow.
Because in the 40 years, I would say the average class size ranged from about 140 to about 150.
Wow.
And I estimate somewhere between 5,600 mm-hmm. and 6,000. I have nieces and nephews, but I don't have any children myself.
Oh,
I think
okay.
I spent too much time in the classroom. I was so I just didn't want to stay out, so I never took time to have a baby.
Yeah, that's right. What was your early schooling like? Where did you go to school?
Okay, I attended two schools. I went to Fleming Street School, which is now the Sadie Salter
mm-hmm.
School.
Yes, ma'am.
Which is not far from here. We walked to school. There were no school buses then.
Because mm-hmm.
we lived in town, so we didn't have to worry about a school bus. We didn't live in the country. I went to that school, I think, from grades 1 through 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to what used to be the C.L. Epps School.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I did grades 5 through 12th grade, graduating.
Okay.
I graduated from Epps School as valedictorian.
Oh, wow. Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
What was it like at these schools?
At these schools? Okay, discipline was very important.
Mm-hmm.
Home life was very important. There was a closeness between the home mm-hmm. and the school.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that your teachers came and visited your home a lot?
Occasionally, or if they didn't visit, you know, in the home, they would visit at church,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes they would visit at the grocery store,
oh,
and they didn't mind using the telephone. And of course, if they thought there was some matter that needed to have been discussed,
mm-hmm.
they would come to the home.
Oh, okay.
And parents were not quite so, they're very different from what they are today.
Mm-hmm.
Because many times parents today get on the defensive and they say, you know, I know my child didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I always hated for a parent to tell me that my child won't lie, my child. And I want to say, you would like to say, I hope my child wouldn't lie, or hope my
mm-hmm.
child wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But, because you don't know what the child might do.
That's right.
The child gets pushed in a corner, somebody might say, well, I need to tell a little lie to get out of this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was growing up, it was the teacher's word.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the child could say anything they want to. But
yeah.
the parent chose to believe the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that the parents didn't trust the child, but the parents wanted those children to grow up with respect for those teachers.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a particularly favorite teacher in your younger years?
Yes. When I was in, I guess, in elementary school, it was probably Mrs. Lena Brown,
mm-hmm.
who became the principal at South Greenville School.
Mm-hmm.
She's now in arrest, but I think she's at Greenville Villa.
Okay.
She was a member of my church, and she has a crippling arthritis, so she was in the Greenville Villa for a while. I think she's back home now. She lives on West Fifth Street, which her house
mm-hmm.
is right in front of the spot where the Epps School was.
Oh.
That Epps School was right, you go to the end of this street, and the only thing that's left, of course, is the gym.
It's the gym.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. But right just in front of the gym is that
mm-hmm.
space where the school actually was.
Every time I pass by there, I hate to think they tore that building
down.
Yeah,
that's right. They should have saved it for some kind of archives or some kind of historical spot.
Yes, ma'am. They should have.
But so Ms. Brown, who was I believe my sixth grade teacher, was just special to me. She had such a caring attitude
mm-hmm.
about children. I don't think she ever had any children either, but she just
mm-hmm.
loved us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also very fond of an art teacher that I had. Her name was Mrs. Madge Barnes Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And she stayed here a long time. And I think she finally moved to somewhere in New Jersey. And she died just a few years ago. But the one that inspired me mostly to go into teaching
mm-hmm.
is still living. She lives right down the street at the very end. She lives on Nash Street,
mm-hmm.
corner of this street and Nash.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, she could walk to school. I mean, she could just step just a few yards.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Mrs. Olga Battle Myers.
Mm-hmm.
She was my English teacher for grades 9 and 10.
Oh, okay.
And of course, all the teachers I really love, but Mrs. Myers, in fact, I told her just Sunday I saw her at church,
mm-hmm.
she doesn't get out too much now because she has arthritis and several
mm-hmm.
other ailments, I guess, go along with old age.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling her, I said, you know, I've told you several times, I said, but you really inspired me to become an English teacher. Because when I finished
mm-hmm.
high school, I was really planning to go to nursing school.
Because
my mother always enjoyed nursing, and
mm-hmm.
she just did nursing kind of
mm-hmm.
on the side, kind of part-time.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was really smart. She didn't finish high school, but
mm-hmm.
she got, I think, maybe through ninth grade or something like that. And
mm-hmm.
when she was coming, of course, ninth grade was a lot.
Yes,
I mean, that was a milestone to get that far in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So after she began to get so interested in nursing,
mm-hmm.
she took correspondence courses, I think, through
mm-hmm.
the Chicago School of Nursing.
Oh.
And she just worked at it, and then she got a chance to do some work in several clinics around
mm-hmm.
in Pitt County. She worked, I think, at a hospital in Wilson, and she did some clinic work in Bethel,
mm-hmm.
and several other places. So she worked smart enough to study to get her LPN or her
mm-hmm.
licensed practical nursing degree.
And you were almost going to
I was into? Almost, yeah, I had already sent off application. I was going to start in Charlotte. There was a Good Samaritan hospital there
mm-hmm.
that was kind of connected to what is now the Johnson C. Smith school.
Mm-hmm.
And that nursing program was tied in with that school. Mm-hmm. And this family was really planned. I even had a small scholarship then. And I think it was so funny because when I think about the amount of scholarships today,
mm-hmm.
that was $110.
Wow.
And that, but that was going, you know, go a long way.
Yeah, back then it would.
But Mrs. Myers said to me, she said, she called me Jenny. She said, you know, you really have something special. You need to go into the classroom. And I thought about it, and then I, at the last minute, I decided I would go to North Carolina A&T.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's A&T University now, and then it was A&T College.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I went, and I entered there in September of 49, because that's when I graduated from high school, 49. And there I took part in several activities. I never joined a sorority,
mm-hmm.
but everybody was trying to recruit me,
mm-hmm.
trying to recruit me and so forth. And there I graduated with highest honors, summa cum laude.
Well,
and with a double degree and double major in English and French.
Wow, I did not know that you spoke
most
French.
No, when I first started teaching, I taught, you know, some French, but it was mm-hmm. mostly English because they didn't have that many students taking French.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing the French, of course, has helped me, you know, with, even with the English, and the English has also helped me, you know, with mm-hmm. the French.
How long did it take you to graduate?
4 years.
4 years? So you were able to go full-time
mm-hmm.
the whole time?
That's
right. Good.
That was a real blessing. My
yeah,
mother had
us.
My mother and dad had sacrificed. And I was the next to the oldest child. I had one mm-hmm. brother who was older. He got through the 11th grade, then he went into service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I was the first one in the family to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom and dad struggled, but you know, my tuition was paid on time.
That's
and then
good.
In the summer, it said, I worked hard, you know, we worked in green tobacco. That is dirty work. That is
yes,
hard
ma'am,
work.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
That is hard work. But she made sure we got a job. We worked, say maybe, I guess maybe about 4 weeks during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
That was most of the tobacco season.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember when I think it was my last year in high school, I did have a job as a cashier or the ticket
mm-hmm.
Cashier at what is called the Roxy Theater. That
yes,
theater is
yeah.
still standing, but they don't use it as a theater. I think they use it maybe for group singing
mm-hmm.
and other little program that you might want. You probably can rent
yeah.
the building. But it used to be a theater. And I worked on the weekend. My mother
mm-hmm.
would let me do a few hours. And I really thought I was, you know, growing up in the world then. You know, got above the tobacco and got a chance to sell a few tickets to the Friday evening theater goers and the Saturday theater goers.
That sounds so neat. And it's such a beautiful building.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I'm glad it's still standing.
Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of, all the little money that I made, gave it to my mom, and then she helped me to get a little a bank account,
mm-hmm.
not a checking account, but savings.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't be, you know, taking any of it out. And that little money we would draw out
mm-hmm.
Just before it was time to go back to school to buy a few things that we needed. But as I said, she sewed for us so well.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped a lot. That meant our clothing was a little bit cheaper.
That's good. Well, where did you get your first job?
Interestingly, I started to work at a little junior college called Kittrell Junior College. You've probably never heard of it.
Where
but you might have heard of Henderson, North Carolina, going
mm-hmm.
up toward
yes,
the
ma'am.
West.
Yes, ma'am.
Kittrell is a little, just a tiny place. It's, I guess it has a post office, maybe a convenience store,
mm-hmm.
and that little school. It was a little school that was run by the Methodists.
Oh.
And I took that job at that little school only because it was getting late and I had not got a job.
Mm-hmm.
I had not got a job. What I did before I got the job, I did some substitute work for a teacher at the South Aiden School, which
mm-hmm.
is no longer there. I worked there for, I think, maybe about 3 weeks.
Because mm-hmm.
the lady whose place I was working in had gone to New York to stay with her mother who was very ill.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that little experience kind of got my foot in the door.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, I took the job at Kittrell
because
mm-hmm. I don't think they opened until maybe like the last of September. So I got that
mm-hmm.
job. And we stayed in a dormitory. It said it used to be a kind of upgoing school. You know, I had never heard of it really, but I just
mm-hmm.
took it. The pay was very, very small.
Mm-hmm.
We ate in the cafeteria with the students. The students were, you know, just a hand, weren't too many. But this school offered education for students grades 11 and 12, and like first year college, like a junior college.
Okay.
So that was kind of interesting experience.
Was it a segregated school or?
Yeah, it was segregated. It was all black, and that was back. That was 1953 to 1954.
Okay. What was it like living in the dormitories with all those other teachers?
Well, I didn't care that much for it because I thought maybe when I got out of college, you know, I was out of the dormitory and so forth. But that was where we were, and I kept saying, maybe I can put up with this for a year, you know, thinking that maybe something else is going to come up. Mm-hmm. And I just took the job really so I could have a little income.
Mm-hmm.
I was out of school. I didn't want to have to fall back on my parents and so forth. And then I said, well, if I can do this, then I can use this to put down on a resume that I've had a year of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem then, if you try to get a job, the application always asks, what experience have you had? And
right.
I keep saying, gosh, if somebody doesn't give you a jump, somebody's got to be the first one to hire,
that's
or you
right.
would never get any experience.
That's right.
But it was okay living in the dormitory. There were must have been about maybe six to eight teachers.
Hmm.
And the student body was small. Most of them had come from their churches, some as far as Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one little girl that was there from Bermuda.
Wow.
So we had a variety, you know, personalities.
Mm-hmm. Where did you get your next teaching position? How did you end up back here in
Greenville? Okay. Where I had done the three weeks of substitute, the teacher, that teacher died or whether she left. But anyway, they had an opening in English. High school English.
Okay.
And the principal had always told my dad, at least my dad told me later, that his name was J.W. Orman, and he said, if I ever get an opening, I sure want to hire your daughter, say, because she did such a great job, and she could, so even though she was young and just out of school, she could keep the students in their place and so forth. And I was really young. I mean, I think I was maybe 20 years old. And,
not much older than your students.
Well, I had, believe it or not, I had about three students who were older because they were veterans, and they had just got out of the service. And at that time, I think they were getting a check to go back to school. Uncle Sam was trying to get them back to school so they could do something, you know, with their lives. So I had three guys who I think one was my age, and I think the other two were a little bit older.
That's interesting. That really is.
So anyway, I got that job. You know, an opening came up, and Mr. Orman called and asked me if I would be interested. And I said, yes, I think so. So I went down to Aiden, and I had an interview with him. But the one thing he said, now, we want the new teachers to live in Aiden. And I said, oh my gosh. I said, it's 10 miles. And I said, at the time, I didn't drive. And he said, and there are a couple of places here, a couple of homes where, you know, teachers sometimes, you know, will stay. And I told him, well, let me at least stay home for the first month, and then I will consider it. You know, I told him, but I didn't ever. I did not want to stay in Aiden. You know, I said, gosh, it's so close. But he was doing that to try to bring that closeness between the school and the home. So I didn't ever stay in Aiden. I commuted for, I guess I commuted until all the while I was there.
Because, how long were you there?
12 years. Let me see, it was 12 years.
Wow.
I was there from 19, from September 54 until June 66.
Wow.
I stayed right there.
How did you get there? I mean,
the lady that I committed, there were about, there must have been at least six or seven teachers from Greenville who were teaching in Aiden.
Oh, okay.
And the lady that I commuted with lived right across the street from me, really.
Oh,
almost
wow.
across the street from me.
Well, that was
that's right. Very convenient. So she picked up, there were five of us that rode, you know.
Oh, wow.
There were three in the back and two in the front. So I said, and the lady told me, one of the teachers said, you know, Jones, you really don't have to move down here. She said, that's just something the principal would like. But he was kind of saying, in other words, that was part of the requirements, you know, but it wasn't. But I enjoyed this. That school was what we call a union school. That was from grades 1 through 12. And I was teaching high school English from grades 9 through 12.
Oh, okay. Now, I know that from readings that our teacher had us do on teachers and stuff, that they felt that their responsibilities to the children went beyond just the classroom and school functions. Did you feel that?
Especially when I was in Aiden, I visited some homes. I found myself taking some of my clothing, giving them to some of the students, because that community was very poor, and most of the families were farm families. And I would say, three-fourths of my students lived on farms. And they were like sharecroppers and so forth. And most of them had very low economic levels. Some of them would come and their shoes would be ragged. You know, your heart would just go out for them. In fact, this is kind of getting off the subject a little bit, but last Saturday, or maybe two Saturdays ago, one of my husband's churches gave me a little appreciation service. And they had invited different people, and some of them were giving tributes. And there was one of my former students there who is now a minister. And she got up to say, and I had forgotten this, she said, "I remember Mrs. Jones, I was Miss Jones, and by the way, I married a Jones." She said, "I'll never forget Miss Jones," she said, "because I remember we were from a poor family," but she said, "I didn't know we were poor until somebody told us we were poor," because we had a lot of love. And she said that she remembered her oldest sister, whose name was Mamie, did not have any decent shoes. And she had come to school a few days and she had on some shoes that were so ragged. And she said, "Believe it or not, my mom had lined the shoe with a piece of linoleum." You know what linoleum is?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And she said, Mrs. Jones got a student, one of her other students, to go downtown in Aiden to buy Mamie a pair of shoes. And I had forgotten that. And that's been 40, I mean, a long, long time ago. Wow. And she said she and her sister talk about that really often. So I was always taking things. Now, of course, I couldn't do that at Rose High School because the students were from families that were of a higher economic level. And sometimes people think if you give them something that you are somewhat throwing off on them. So you have to be really, really careful when you give, even today, if you try to give somebody something, you have to be really, really careful. Because a parent could really, I guess, call you up and say, "What makes you think my child needs your hand-me-downs?" You know, something like that. But yes, when I was in I worked at Epps, by the way, for 3 years. That was where I worked next. But Aiden was very, very, it was a really good teaching experience. We didn't have a lot of things to work with. We didn't have any tape recorders. I remember just before I left Aiden, maybe a couple of years before I left Aiden, the school finally purchased two tape recorders. They were the large, not that kind of large, about like this. And those two had to be shared by the whole school. Now that's grades 1 through 12.
Wow.
We had very little to work with. So when I started working at Rose, and we would be in the English department meetings, and some of the teachers would start complaining, and they would say, "We need this, we don't have this." And I said, "Let me tell you something." I said, "I did my best teaching probably with a piece of chalk and a blackboard." I said, "That's all, and a textbook." I said, "That's what I used." I said, "I did not have a tape recorder or a VCR or any of these other things to rely on." But in the schools now, they have everything.
Yes, ma'am, they do. When did you meet your husband?
I met him when I was working in South Aiden School. My husband comes from Pitt County. He grew up in a farm area, a very poor area, near Winterville. Remember Winterville?
Yes, ma'am.
Just a few miles from here. And I had actually taught some of his cousins. I didn't know anything about him. And he wasn't my husband then, but he was living in New Haven, Connecticut. That's where he was working. He was pastoring a small church, but he was working at the, I think, Winchester plant where they made guns and other things like that. So he would come home occasionally to see his grandfather who had reared him. His mother didn't rear him. His mother gave him to her daddy, and then the grandfather, of course, married, and everybody in that community said that this lady that married his grandfather, mm-hmm. could not have cared for a child and what she had given birth to that child. That was the only mother he actually knew. I mean, mm-hmm. he knew his natural mother, but that was the one he called mama.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to know him through one of my former students, who was his cousin.
Oh, okay.
And I remember we were having a little social at school mm-hmm. one Saturday afternoon, something for the children. And I was there, you know, chaperone or something. And the fellow's name was Herman Banks. And he had said, Cousin Steve, I know somebody that would be nice for you. He said, I've got a teacher. She's tough. Her name is, we call her Miss M.D. Jones. And that's what they always call you then, you know, by initials.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came out and he said, I'd like to meet her. So we were introduced like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we just had a few words and that was it. And then later on he asked, he said, well, could I come by to see you sometimes when I'm home, you know, from Connecticut? Mm-hmm. And we just started, you know, develop a little relationship like that. And mm-hmm. then I would say maybe about 2 years after I had met him, we got married in New Haven, Connecticut. I went to Yale University one summer on a special, it was a stipend, a special scholarship. We were studying a Shakespearean Institute. And while I was there, that's when we got married.
What year was that?
1959.
Uh-huh. Wow, you've been married a long time.
Okay.
What did he think of your career as a teacher?
What did he think of it?
Mm-hmm. After you were married.
He knew that I loved it. So mm-hmm. he said, you know, first we had thought about staying in Connecticut. And I said, you know, I really hate to leave Aiden and Greenville. Mm-hmm. He said, well, then maybe what we need to do is to relocate and we can go back to Greenville. Mm-hmm. And he said, I can find some work there.
Mm-hmm.
He said, even if I just garden. In fact, the vegetables you saw on the porch, my husband, you know, raises vegetables and sells them sometimes. But anyway, he can do anything. He's a jack of all trades. He can work with his hands. He can mm-hmm. work on cars. He can, mm-hmm. you know, just about anything you can think of. In fact, I guess we save a lot of dollars around here when he can do so many things himself.
Mm-hmm.
He said, gosh, if you didn't have me or didn't have another man that could do something, you would have to pay for every little thing you get
right.
done.
That's
and
right.
so forth. So that's... He wanted me to be happy because he knew that I loved my teaching career. So he just came in and he said, I would rather relocate myself than for you to have to pull up stakes and move up here. So we came mm-hmm. back and we stayed with my parents for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that we moved out and then I stayed with an elderly, well not so old either, but a great aunt who lived at the end of, well, no, she lived on Fifth Street, which is the next street over,
mm-hmm.
all the way down just a few steps from the school, from
okay.
Epp School. And only she and her husband were there. Her husband, of course, was my great uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And she did work, she used to wash and iron for all the lawyers and the doctors and, you know, here in town.
That's great.
And they loved it because she washed the clothes in her washing machine, an old-fashioned one, kind of
mm-hmm.
wrinkle type. You probably mm-hmm. see one on TV something.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am, I have.
And then, but she boiled clothes to kind of bleach them in a big iron pot.
Wow.
And you can't find those pots now.
No,
they're ma'am. Almost like antiques.
Mm-hmm.
But she, on a couple of days a week, she would say, well, today is my wash day.
Mm-hmm.
She would build a fire under that pot and she would, you know,
wow.
boil the, you know, the sheets. And those lawyers and doctors, they just loved for her to wash. And then she would do the iron and she used to iron with, there was a flat iron, it was a heavy iron. It was black.
The kind that you had to heat up?
Uh-huh, that
mm-hmm.
kind, that's
yes,
right.
Ma'am.
And then, of course, later on, you know, she advanced and she got one of the electric kind.
Mm-hmm.
But she would still use those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she liked both, and she could fold those shirts up so beautifully. And then she, you know, would put them in a basket. They would usually bring their stuff in a large basket about like this.
Mm-hmm.
And she would put her things in, put a towel over. They'd all come and pick up.
Wow. That's
they missed
so
her when she died. She died, you know, I guess it's maybe 8 to 10 years ago, but
wow.
they called her name is Winnie Daniels, and they loved for her to do that work. Dr. Acock, who is now dead, he has a lot of family agreement. That
mm-hmm.
was one of her main person. That was her doctor, and she also washed and
oh, wow. That's really uh-huh. neat. And so you live with her?
I live with her, for about, I guess, about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we moved into an apartment. on McKinley Avenue, the street I had grown up on.
Mm-hmm.
Not the fact, just almost diagonal across the street from where I had grown up. We stayed there for about, I guess, maybe about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thing that, where we ended up buying this little house, with every time you turn around, the man was going up on the rent, So he said that last time they went up on the rent, it was so much, he decided to just kind of look around. Then he saw this little house one day, and it's so cute. It used to be a nice neighborhood. It's not a really nice neighborhood now.
Yeah.
The rate of crime in West Greenwood of this area is really high. You might hear gunshots all night long. I mean, anything goes, you know. But I told him, I said, well, if we weren't as old as we are, we would move somewhere else. But I guess we'd move somewhere else. Sometimes you move into a situation that's just as bad or even worse.
This is a nice little house.
It's real cozy. I told him, I said, we really need a little more space. But they're just two of us.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have to have some comfort, we just open up a chair and, you know, people just make do with whatever.
That's right. That's right. That's what my parents do.
Excuse me.
That's fine.